And a good Saturday morning to you. Welcome to February 1st. Andy Lindis is taking the day off today, but in his stead is our friend Lou Panic, the deck and porch specialist with Lindis Construction. So if you have any particular question, any home improvement question will be fine. But specifically, if you have questions about decks, decking, maintenance, building, care, or porches for that matter, let's hear from you, either by phone or by text. You know the number, 651-461-9226. Luke, good morning to you. How you been? How was your week?
It's been a great week. I'm doing well. How about you?
Yeah, same. Thanks for asking. What personally you up to here on your off hours?
Well, I'm up working on that cabin we've talked about up on Lake Vermilion. I'm putting on siding today with my son, Simon. So hopefully going to enjoy some decent weather. It was 30 below 2 weeks ago, so that was a little tougher to work outside. But it's 50 degrees warmer. It feels a lot better.
Well, what is the weather like right now there?
Well, right now it's about 18 degrees, 19 degrees, somewhere around there.
And you're still going to be doing... Well, that makes a big difference, of course, there's no wind. You and I have been doing this show a long time, and we talk about decks a lot. But generally speaking, and I was thinking of a project I may have to tackle here that involves plumbing. Is there something that you would just assume? Now, you've built homes yourself. Is there something that you don't particularly care to do? I know Andy gets a little nervous around plumbing and electrical. What about you? Do you just go ahead and do anything?
Well, no, I don't do anything. there is basic, I fit under the category of jack of all trades in construction. I can speak intelligently and savvy about most things related to construction, but I would say I'm more of just a carpenter if I had an expertise. But when you do my personal projects involve remodeling cabins and stuff, and so I've had to do a little bit of plumbing and a little bit of electrical, and you got to know your limits and what you're comfortable with. But I like kind of taking on projects that I maybe don't know everything, because I think it's fun to learn, and it helps me in my career when I'm trying to help people with their homes. If I can speak intelligently about, oh, there's a 3-inch pipe coming out of your floor, I know that's for a toilet. You must have a toilet upstairs. You know, there's certain things that you learn. What I don't do for sure, to answer your question, is I don't mess with sheetrock and drywall, because that is really, not only is it a skill, it's an art. Mm-hmm. And to be efficient at it and do a good job, you need to have that art and that skill, and you need to do it regularly. And so I don't mess with drywall. That I bring in the experts for that and throw rose petals at their feet.
Well, we talk about certain types of the trades, Andy and I, and you and I do each week, and some of them have disappeared. You know, maybe a certain kind of tuck pointing or what you said, drywall. Is that true? I mean, can we use more artists like that? I guess that's a dumb question, but we can always use more. But what are some of the trades that have kind of disappeared over the years?
Well, for sure, your basement technology's changed a lot. There's a lot more options. And so the masonry business as a whole has changed quite a bit. We don't see as much brick. We don't see as much block. You know, back in the 60s and 70s, most masonry basements were block walls set, you know. And when I say, I mean concrete block. And so as a young kid, I learned and worked on a lot of block foundations. That was how it was done. There was very few people that had all the equipment and the form, the very expensive forms to do poured concrete walls. So there wasn't a lot of those guys out there. So laying block was the most common. But now as more the masonry companies that do basements typically do a poured concrete wall. And so that business boomed for many years. And then all of a sudden they came out with these insulated concrete forms, or also known as ICFs, these big styrofoam blocks that heck, a carpenter can lay these things, and you can screw them together and brace them up, and then you fill them with concrete. You didn't need those expensive forms. And then there's also wood foundations are very, very, very good basements, treated wood foundations, which I've done several times. And so the mason, the block layer, the brick layer, there's a lot less demand for that stuff. I mean, still commercial projects for brick, of course, you still see that. But so I would say that this, and that translates into, well, where's the guy to fix my brick chimney? Well, he's hard to find because his skill set, the demand for those guys is gone down quite a bit. So those are that is an artisan. That's a guy who's to make a, you know, a brick chimney and a brick fireplace and all that. That's a hard guy to find. So that's probably the biggest area where we still need to find people to learn that skill and trade, because we're still going to need them. We're still going to need them for sure. And the good news for them is they become very valuable. So they get to earn a better wage, of course, because there's lots of them around.
And demand. Yeah, absolutely. If you're just joining us, Luke Panik, the deck and porch specialist, among other things, is with us filling in for Andy today. If you have any kind of a home improvement question, we welcome yours. As usual, 651-461-9226. You mentioned, and Andy has mentioned it on occasion too, I think he has a wood foundation basement at his house. An old one. Is that, I mean, have you ever had anything to do with a wood foundation in your work?
Yeah, my father has a book from the University of Minnesota back in the 60s about how to build wood foundations, which is what, you know, I use as a guide. And he's done, my father has done several for people in building homes. My own house that we've talked about that I built about 9 years ago is a full basement, and I put in a treated wood foundation for that. My framing guys helped me frame that up. And so a lot of times people go, what? You know, that doesn't sound like that's going to last. You know, what's going on there? A lot of people are very like, what do you mean? You know, we live in Minnesota's a swamp. You're going to put wood in the ground. Well, yes, if you do it correctly, a wood foundation can outlast and outperform a masonry basement. And that seems crazy. But the downside to masonry, when you pour concrete in the ground, I mean, think about, you know, you dig a hole in the ground, and even though it may not be full of water, it's wet, it's damp, it holds moisture. And so what happens with concrete is difficult, as concrete over the years wants to shift and it wants to crack. And when you have a crack in concrete, of course, water can get through it. So it's a battle to keep it waterproof. It's a battle to get your basement to not smell musty or damp, because it holds that moisture and it wicks that moisture. What's unique about a wood foundation is that they're built in a way that they never get wet. And how you do that is before you build your walls, you put what I do is I put down about a foot of pea gravel or drainable rock. So your whole foundation is sitting, your whole house is sitting on a rock bed, and then you run drain tile through that. So whatever water ever gets under your house, it just completely drains. And you can also do that with a masonry basement. But the point is that when you backfill, you build these walls out of a special wood that's called 0.6 treated wood or subgrade wood. And so it's meant to be under the ground, but it really never gets in contact with the ground. And it's because it's sitting on the rock. And then you backfill, or you water, you go around the building with a black poly. And then you go around the building with a corrugated heavy foundation wrap that's like almost like an egg carton.
Oh, yeah.
It creates an airspace. It creates it's 8 feet. They're 8 or 10 foot tall rolls, and they're 100 feet long. And you go right around the house, and then you backfill with sand against that. And what it does is it creates a airspace between the basement and the ground. So whatever moisture is coming or is around your house or running off your roof, and before it hits the black poly, it falls straight down the wall and gets into that rock that's underneath your house. And then it goes into the drain tile and then vacates the premises. So what you end up with is a foundation that's in the ground, but it's completely surrounded by air. And so it stays very, very dry. They don't crack. Of course, these wood structures don't crack because they're not, and they don't want to wick or hold on to humidity and moisture. So it makes it for a very dry and comfortable basement. And then the other bonus to it is that you've already got a stud wall in your basement to run your wiring and run your plumbing and do whatever you do. That wall is already there. You don't have to build an additional energy wall on the inside and lose that space for your basement. So that's just another perk of it. But I think they're really, really good. The house, the first place I bought up here on Lake Vermilion, to do as a remodel, that has a wood foundation up here from the 60s. And it's great. It's a very comfortable basement. So it's a great technology.
Well, I've never heard it explained quite like that. It makes me want to have one. Wow, I had no idea.
Nice.
Yeah, I should say. Look, hang on. We need to take a real fast break. We'll come back. And while we're at this, I'm looking at a listener's text, and maybe you could think about this and put on your plumber's hat. A texter wants to know what could cause gurgling in the kitchen sink after draining. They love the show, and let's see if we can get an answer. We'll take this break. Be right back. Luke Panik filling in for Andy Lindis today in the Home Improvement Show. You want to ask him a question, by all means, call it in or text it in, 651-461-9226. From News Talk 830 WCCO. Hey, good morning. Welcome back to this portion of our Home Improvement Show presented by Lindis Construction. You want to get in touch with those good folks, 844-9-LINDIS, 844-9-LINDIS. You want to send a question our way to ask Luke Panik a question, Luke filling in for Andy Lindis today, either by phone or by text, as usual, 651-461-9226. Before the break, Luke, we asked you to think what causes gurgling in a kitchen sink after draining. What might be happening there?
Well, that is most certainly likely it is a venting issue. When you go to water, tends to go down the pipe. If you don't have at the vent, if there's a problem with the vent, the water's going to struggle to go down. So it's got to recapture air as it tries to get down the pipe. Just like if you try to pour gas out of a gas can that, you know, the vent hole isn't open, it struggles, it gurgles, it does that gurgling sound. That's what happens. Usually kitchen sinks have a vent that goes out the roof right above the kitchen sink. This time of year, I think a lot of kitchens are located near the eaves. A lot of eaves have a lot of snow and ice on them. So what can happen this time of year is your vent can get plugged up with snow and ice occasionally. If it gets too cold or it builds up, that's happened to me before. So that is one thing to check out. If it is a problem and you're getting snow and ice or it's plugged up somehow, they make an easy solution for this. And you can go to any Home Depot, Menards, or a hardware store, and they sell about a 3 foot long or 24 inch long copper tee. And what it does is that you go up on your roof and you slide this down the pipe and it catches on the top, the tee at the top catches, and it just, that metal copper shaft goes down your vent pipe and it somehow can just conducts enough heat once it's down lower in your house like that, and it brings heat up and keeps that vent free and open. And so I did that on a place up here where I had trouble with that. And it'll make sure that they never freeze over. It's unusual. Most winters, your vents don't have any issues. But if you get the right combination and the pipe is located on the northeast corner of the house or something, and it's not getting any sun, and it gets the right combination, you can have problems with venting. But it's most certainly venting.
You know, I've got one of those. I've never used it. I was looking at it in my garage
really?
The other day. I came across. I thought, wait a minute. I think this is for the stack, the vent. And, of course, I hesitate getting up on the roof, naturally.
No,
unless
somebody's
around watching me. But that actually works,
I'll stop over.
Oh, yeah.
They work great. I'll stop over and do that for you. You don't need to do that. You stay off the roof.
Well, I don't know. I trust you, okay? I trust you.
Good.
There's, by the way, if you're just joining us, Luke Panik in for Andy today. A bunch of questions, not only that, the plumbing one, but we mentioned about porches, And a texter said, what number do I call at Linda's to get a four-season porch bid? Well, earlier, just a moment ago, I mentioned 8449-LINDIS. But let's talk a little bit about the process. What if somebody does want Linda's to build a porch? What's the take us through that process. What do they do?
Well, they just call our office, and they're going to send out one of a couple of people. There's me. I'm one of the guys that'll come out and help with a porch, or Jordan, or possibly Charlie, are our sales guys that are skilled in design and for constructing a porch or remodeling a porch or anything related to a porch. And we'll come to your house and we'll take a look at what you got. Most often people have a deck there and they want a porch. They're not using it, and a real common situation is if they have that deck faces west or south, it's just too hot. So they want to get a roof over it. They want to enclose it. The biggest challenge that we always face is, or where the skill comes in, is we got to put a roof over the top of this thing, and we got to tie that roof back into the house. And sometimes, if it's a two-story house, oftentimes there's windows above on the second story. So we got to think about, all right, how are we going to put a roof on top of this house? And that sometimes it's real easy, sometimes it's very complicated. So all of that is going to determine whether we can prepare your quote for you that day, or if we need to do design work and then come back with a proposal down the road. So it just depends. Every situation is different, but we do it all the time. And it starts by just giving us a call, and we spend an hour or two with you and take a look at the project and hold your hand down the road.
Yeah, I think what's important, and you mentioned it, Andy mentions it all the time, that whether you're getting new windows, a porch, roofing, gutters, that first visit is always free, and you get some great information. Yeah, so keep that in mind. Yeah, and back to that listener, just call 844-9-LINDIS, and those good folks will set up a time. So, piece of cake. All right, I'm getting a bit of a signal here that it's time to look at that forecast. Let's see what kind of weather Luke Panic is up to this week, and the rest of the crews at Linda's Construction, and the rest of us, too. So we'll have a look at the forecast. Any home improvement question, we'd love to hear from you right now. 651-461-9226 from News Talk 830. This is WCCO. Hey, good morning. Welcome back to our home improvement show presented by Linda's Construction every week, L-I-N-D-U-S. Yeah, lindasconstruction.com if you want to check them out online. Or, as I said earlier, give them a call if you have a project in mind, 844-9-LINDIS. And if you're just joining us, Andy Linda's taking the day off today. Luke Panic filling in as he does so remarkably once in a while here. We're glad to have Luke, even in the midst of his busy schedule. Okay, I'm looking at some other texts, Luke. Let's see where I left off. Ba-bum-bum. Let's see. This question was asked before. How would you raise a sagging three-season porch and replace the deck underneath? And he said he got a good answer. But afterwards, my spouse said, well, if they raise and level a porch, how does that impact the windows in the porch? As when they were replaced, the contractor had to put in shims because of the sagging. So what happens after Linda's or whomever readjust a sagging three-season porch?
Yeah, that's a really good point, because if the windows were adjusted to be level while the porch was not level, and now that we put the porch level, now the windows aren't going to be level. So if you level the porch, it may require that the windows be adjusted after the fact. It may be minor enough that that doesn't need to be done, but it's in all likelihood, now we've changed the platform that those windows are sitting in, so getting the porch level will affect those windows for sure.
Yeah. Now, what about, we say at Linda's, Linda's puts in windows pretty much, given the weather, anytime throughout the year. What about when you mm-hmm. guys have a porch to be built? What are your limitations, if any, on weather?
Well, it depends on how much frost there is and how much snow cover that they've had. Sometimes, What limits us is if we can't get footings into the ground. It doesn't necessarily mean that we can't get started on it, because we can put in temporary support underneath the structure and build it, and then when the ground warms up, put in the permanent footings. And sometimes we warm up the ground with heated blankets to remove the frost so we can put the footings in right away. So every situation is different. And sometimes the building already has footings and they're adequate, so we can build all, you know, during the winter. So it depends on the circumstance, but in a lot of cases, most cases, we can actually get started on it. Our backlog rate now is such that we can't until spring anyway, but there have been winters in the past where we didn't have that backlog, and we proceeded right in the winter.
I noticed it must have triggered a couple of questions from listeners about footings. You mentioned footings. And I know you had talked about footings last time you were on, but maybe you could explain what is maybe your favorite, or what is the best way in your opinion, and what kind of footings used if somebody does want to add on a 3 or 4 season porch. What's that process? Footings.
That process, yeah. The ones that we like to use are called the helical piers. The helical piers are basically steel screws that screw into the earth. They look like a ice auger that you would drill a hole for your ice fishing. They're just bigger and heavier, of course, and they are the best for our climate. So we use them every chance that we can. There's some limitations with getting our machinery back there to put them in certain locations, or if there's an existing structure and it's too low to the ground, we can't get underneath it to put new footings in. But most of the time, we're able to figure out how to put the helical piers in, and they're the best for Minnesota, for sure.
You have a home improvement question, any kind, if it especially pertains to decks or decking. We haven't talked about decks that much today. 651-461-9226. How is the Linda shaped up for building decks this season, this year?
Yeah, they're coming along. Our deck crews are shut down right now, waiting for Old Man Winter to pass us by to get back started again. Still a lot of interest in decks. It's a popular topic for a lot of people, because we get, I think, especially, you know, in where we live, because I think we get cooped up all winter and we're anxious to smell the charcoal on the grill and get outside and enjoy the decks. Always a hot topic and always very popular. We're ever expanding. We always add a couple of new sales guys every year to help the demand of decks. So it's very popular.
Another text pertaining to decks question just came in. Does Lindus design and plan decks and let the homeowner do the construction? That's a first.
Yeah, we do offer that. We could do a design. We would charge a fee for the design if we're not building the deck. We could come out and design a deck for you and give you advice on it and wish you good luck. It's and some people that feels like a project that they can tackle and is definitely doable for a lot of people. So, yeah, that's a possibility.
Yeah, it's the first time we had that question. Let's grab a phone call this morning. I believe Tom calling in from Dayton. Tom, thank you. What is your question for Luke?
In my front entry, I got double steel doors. And when the temperature outside was 20 below, I measured the temperature on the inside of the doors, and it was like 50 degrees. Can one just replace the two steel doors by either fiberglass doors or wood doors without the framework being done?
Usually, when we replace doors, we replace the frame and all the way to the back to the rough opening. And the reason that is steel doors. Well, I mean, there's two answers to this. If you can get the exact same manufacturer, meaning you're going to replace those doors with, and they're recent, and you can get the exact same slat or the exact same manufacturer, but get them in a different material, there may be a chance for that. But the problem is that the hinges get mortised out, the door hardware gets mortised out, and it has to be exactly the same for the door to function properly. So it's unusual that would be an option. It's always a good, and the frame is all connected. The threshold sits underneath the jams on the side, and they're all connected, and it usually just makes the most sense to pull the whole frame out and put in the new door so that you don't go through all that trouble and all that expense, and then you got doors that don't seat properly and don't close properly and don't seal up properly. So it's always best to replace the frame and the doors all in one unit.
What kind of doors do you like personally as far as material?
I think steel doors are the best. And the ones that we use made by Provia are really, really well insulated. They're injected with the urethane foam, just like the door of your refrigerator is the same insulation they put in the door in your entry door. So I like steel because they handle our humidity and temperature change and the sunlight the best. Fiberglass doors, if they're exposed to any sort of sunlight, don't handle that well. If you've got a big overhang where they're kept in the shade, then it's going to do okay. But a lot of times doors get a lot of light, and steel doors hold up to that best. And they're far superior as far as thermal performance to wood doors. Wood itself doesn't hold up that well in our area either. And of course, just like wood deck boards don't hold up, that's why wood entry doors don't hold up that well. They absorb humidity. They expand and contract with humidity and temperature change. And they don't have a very high R value. A one inch thick piece of wood has an R value of 1, whereas a 1 inch of foam inside a steel door has an R value of 3. So it's 3 times the insulation value of wood. So, and that adds up when it's an entry door. So I think steel doors are the best.
All right. Let's grab another phone call before we break. David calling in from Minneapolis. Thanks for hanging on, David. What is your question for Luke?
Yeah, good morning. So what's the other person's question about the sagging three-season porch? I also do, and we've had trees, you know, many of them have been, like, basically been cut down. So now my porch gets super hot. And then thinking about putting new windows in, I had a new roof put on, like, a couple of years ago. If I level the porch or the windows, how much is that going to mess up the existing roof? And will it, like, is it a big deal, like, the transition strips and stuff that are going from the roof to the house?
Yeah, good question, David. Is the roof being connected to a straight wall, to a side wall, like a two-story or something?
Yes, exactly. Yeah, it is.
Yeah, okay. So that connection between the roof and the house is typically step flashing. And there is some tolerance there. So usually, and we see this a lot in older homes in St. Paul and Minneapolis, where they've got the old front porch and it's sunk into the ground because the footings are only a foot in the ground or something. And typically we're able to lift those porches back up level and without damage or a problem. If it's extreme, if it's several inches pulled away, then that needs to be looked at after it's done. But if we're lifting it up and pulling back a half inch gap or something between where the gable ties into the sidewall, it's usually not a problem. Usually we're able to level that back and with minimal damage or issues with the roof. It can also, we can look at it after and make sure and do a water test to make sure. But traditionally, we're able to level a porch and not have to worry about the attachment to the house. It has some forgiveness there.
All right. Thanks, David. Tell you what, let's take one more call before we make a quick break. Tim has been on the horn calling in from Cold Spring. Thanks, Tim. What is your question, Tim?
Good morning, folks. Question for Luke. So my home was built in 1998. We purchased it in 2000. It has aluminum siding. First 10 years of the house, we loved it. There isn't a scratch on the house, nothing like that. Approximately 10, 12 years ago, we started seeing flaking of the paint coming off of the aluminum siding, where I can actually see the aluminum bare siding. As time has gone on, it's getting worse, and it's truly really, really prevalent in the, like, I have a lot of dormers, wherever the snow builds up in the wintertime. My question is this: do I need to re-side, or is there any way of power washing and then some type of acid to put on the aluminum to repaint. What is your recommendation? Is it worth the time to repaint, or do I just need to go with new siding?
Well, it's a good question, and it's a debatable answer. It's difficult to know how well you can get paint to adhere to aluminum. One of the other things aluminum siding likes to do is has a precipitate called chalk. It's a white, that's a residue that when you run your hand on there, it's chalking. And so back in the day, in my college years, I was a college pro painter, and I did a lot of painting of exterior of homes. And we would paint aluminum homes from time to time, and successfully. But like anything, just like we talk about refinishing decks, it's about the preparation. Having to get any of that loose material off, which often is close to the where the roofs are, where they get snow and ice held on them, the barrier, the bond from the paint to the aluminum is impacted because aluminum expands and contracts a lot. So that's the challenge. The process is typically to wash the house really good. And when I say really good, I mean even with a detergent like TSP, trisodium phosphate, or something like that, so you can get the aluminum very clean. And any aluminum that has started to loosen up a little bit comes off. Then you can paint it. And Sherwin-Williams makes good products for this. They also make additives that you can put in paint that are used to paint aluminum siding called one of the brand names called Emulsibond. And it's a product that you add to the paint that makes it adhere better to metals. So I would, if I would, I think it's worth an effort. You can get a price from somebody or do it yourself if you want to try painting it. It's certainly going to cost a lot less money than a whole siding job to replace the siding. And it may very well be worth it to give a coat of paint and get another 10, 20 years out of the siding. It's entirely possible. It can be done. You can paint vinyl siding, believe it or not. You know, there are ways to update homes without having to replace siding. Doing it the right way, getting good advice from a Sherwin-Williams or a Hirschfields on what paint to use is really, really important, and making sure that it's clean. But a lot of these sidings can be painted successfully and hold up very well.
Wow. All right. Well, good luck with that project. Tell you what, Luke, we need to take a quick break. Be back with the remaining minutes of our home improvement show here on News Talk A3O WCCO. I just can't wait to get back to Luke Panic here on this Saturday morning. Luke, we have a couple of minutes to go, and we have a caller on the line, so let's see if we can help Julie in Stillwater. Julie, what is your question, please?
My question is, we have a townhouse that was built in 2008. We need either considerable work done on a deck that was just made out of regular old boards. They weren't treated or anything. And they were painted. And it was supposed to be lifetime maintenance. They changed the rules of the Townhouse Association. And to make a long story short, this deck was probably substandard to start with. And the builder went out of business the same year he started building these townhouses, 2008, if you remember that. So we're trying to decide whether to redo our deck entirely and do non-maintenance, or whether we should try to repair it. I would like to know what, and there are considerable problems on the underside of the deck because there's a channel through there that water has to go through to reach some sort of a drainage. It's like a gutter almost going through there, but it's just rock. What does he think we should do? I'm going to hang up and listen.
Very good, Julie. Luke, we have about a minute and a half.
Okay. Well, Julie, we would need to take a look at this project to give you good advice on it. More often than not, we do replace the frame of the deck when we do new maintenance redecking anyway. So it sounds like in her case, there's multiple issues and drainage problems that need to be looked at, and likely this is a full replacement, which is, you know, downside and plus side. It's also a chance to make it or shape it a little bit bigger or smaller, or make some modifications to it to make it more appropriate for Julie's house. So I would just encourage her to have someone out from Linda's to take a look at it and give her some good advice. We really need to see it.
Yeah, again, Julie and listeners, that first visit is always free no matter what project we're talking about. So, Julia, have you or someone call this coming week? Lindis, 844-9-LINDUS, 844-9-L-I-N-D-U-S. And they'll take good care of you. Luke, thanks for taking good care of us today. Always a pleasure. Sounded great, and I know we'll be talking again.
You bet, Danny. Take care of yourself, bud.
You betcha. Luke Panic, the deck and porch specialist from Lindis. I wanted to mention to Luke, we were talking earlier in the show about his wood basement. And a listener said, yeah, wood basement, had that here in Andover since 1992, not one single problem. And he's right. People thought I was nuts. Thanks to that listener, and thank you. Thanks, Brian Perpich, for being a great producer on this show. Denny Long, thanking you for listening. And we'll see you again next Saturday morning.